I do want to thank Brother Philip for those words of welcome. I want to thank your minister for the invitation to be here. And I also want to thank him for going over and preaching at our harvest services, or the harvest service this morning in Ballyclare. It's always a great joy and a pleasure to come to Mockrafelt, and that joy is always increased from the opportunity of ministering the word. Trust the Lord will bless us together. Could we unite our hearts in prayer, please? Our gracious God and eternal Father in heaven, we rejoice this is the Lord's day. And we thank Thee, our Father, in Thy providence we're found in Thy hands. And we praise Thee we're found with the copy of the Holy Scriptures in our mother tongue. We thank Thee for the Bible. We rejoice it is the infallible, inerrant Word of God. And we pray now, Lord, as we turn to it, that Thou wilt draw strangely near to us. We pray that the Holy Spirit, the author of this book, will open our minds and open our understanding. And we pray like as it was with the disciples on their road to Emmaus. We pray that as they beheld the Savior, that we too will behold Him today. Oh, we pray that Thou wilt give us eyes anointed with eye salve, that we might see the Lord Jesus, the sole head and only King of the Church. We pray now, Lord, for Thy blessing as we gather around the precious word of the Lord. We pray in Jesus' name and we pray for His sake. Amen. Amen. Now we invite you to take your Bible and turn to the portion of Scripture which Brother Philip read to us, Revelation chapter 1. This is a wonderful book. Now the Bible, there's a blessing for you when you read the Bible. No matter where you read the Bible, it's God's Word and the Lord speaks to us and He gives us clear directions. And when we read the book of Revelation, there's a special blessing for us. For we have it recorded in verse 3, "Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand." Oh, how I rejoice. There's a blessing for us this morning as we meditate upon the Word of God. Now, when you read the Bible, you will find in the book of Genesis, and right through to the book of Malachi, that the Lord Jesus is typified. The Bible tells us that someone is coming. And that someone, of course, is the Lord Jesus Christ. He has come. And when we read the Gospels, we read that He was crucified. So the Old Testament tells us about how the Savior is typified. Every offering, every sacrifice pointed to the sacrifice at Calvary. That the Lord Jesus would come in the fullness of time. He was born of a woman. And He lived among men and He went to the cross and He died to put away our sins by the sacrifice of Himself. When we come to the book of Revelation, we find that the Lord Jesus is glorified. The Bible is all about one supreme person, the Lord Jesus Christ. It's in His name that we're met. It's in His name there's all power, there's all authority. And how He this morning is in our midst and He's going to bless us. Oh, I trust that the Lord would draw near to us and refresh us and bless us together around His Word. Now, as Brother Philip read the Scriptures to you, I'm sure you noticed that there was emphasis on the word servant, and there was emphasis on the word spirit, and of course, there was emphasis on the sovereign. You will notice in verse 1 that it's a revelation of Jesus Christ. This book is about Christ, about the Holy Son of God. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto Him to show unto His servants things which must shortly come to pass, and He sent and signified it by an angel unto His servant John. So you'll notice there that John was entrusted with a message. John is the servant. He's the messenger. You will notice we're told exactly who he is John. Now, scholars would tell us that John was probably about 90 years of age at this time. He was the youngest of the disciples. And you remember in the upper room that John was the one that leaned on the bosom of the Savior. How blessed John was that he felt the heartbeat of the compassionate Savior. He was near his Lord. The Lord Jesus said, "I know my sheep and am known of mine. And my sheep hear my voice, and they follow me." I wonder, could I just pause there and ask this congregation this morning, Oh yes, come right alongside you and ask you personally, how close are you to the shepherd? You profess to be one of his sheep. The shepherd went in search of you. He found you. He brought you home. He put you into the sheepfold. How close are you to the shepherd? Have you heard his voice this day already, speaking clearly to you? Had you your quiet time this morning? Did you read the word of God? Did you pray this morning? Has the Lord spoken to you already? I trust he has. But how I pray now that he'll speak to all of our hearts. He'll speak to my heart. He'll speak to your heart. And may the Lord bless us. You see, John was the servant. And the wonderful thing about this is, John the servant calls us his family. Notice verse 9. I, John, who am also your brother. The servant was John, but the servant, he tells us here, that he is one of our brethren. He says, I am your brother. Now, what does that tell us? When we read the word brother, it speaks to us about the family. What a blessing it is to be in the same family as John, the beloved disciple. I wonder, is there one this morning and as yet you're not in the family? There has not yet been a time in your life when you bowed the knee, when you confessed your sin, when you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior. What a blessing it is to be in God's family. There is no family on earth or in heaven like the family of God. What a blessing it is to be in the family. How do you get into the family? By birth. For me, it was in the first Sunday of June 1953. As a young man leaving school, going out into this world, looking to find all that the world had to offer. And I discovered at that early age that what I wanted wasn't found in pleasure. It wasn't found with people. It was found in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. My Bible class teacher was speaking to me and he said, Austin, the Lord Jesus has come to give you life and to give it to you more abundantly. And that Sunday afternoon in Dermara CW, that hall now belongs to our Monastleyan congregation. It's a free Presbyterian hall. But it was in that hall away back in June 1953 that I met the Savior, that I was born again of the Spirit of God. I came into the family of God. And when I read that verse, John says, I am your brother, I can say with thanks be unto God, I am in God's family. Can you say that this morning? You're in the family of God. What a blessing it is to be in God's family. But you notice the servant here, he tells us that he's our brother. He tells us something more in verse 9. He tells us that he is our companion. Now, companion speaks to us of friendship. It speaks to us of fellowship. What a blessing it is to enjoy friendship with those who are in the family of God. The family of God marked by friendship, marked by fellowship, enjoying communion together. What a blessing it is when we meet as a church family. And Brother Philip has been putting emphasis this morning on the church family. Sharing together. One family. One meeting place. And that family marked by love. That companionship. That friendship marked by love. Here we are today gathered in one meeting place. Gathered in the precious name of the Lord Jesus. As men and women who are in the family of God. So we learn first of all about John. John is a servant. And remember, this old man is in service. Notice what he has been entrusted with, to write to the seven churches. Brother Philip read to us at verse 11 that he was to take this message, write it in a book, and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, modern Turkey. He was entrusted with a message to the churches. Almost 90 years of age. And beloved, he was still in service. You're never too old to serve the Lord. You're never too young. I stand before you today as a person who was greatly blessed and greatly privileged. In the little village that I lived in Dermara, there was an old missionary who was 80 years of age. She had served the Lord in India. She came home after those many years of service, and she got 12 boys around her. She prayed for those boys. She taught those boys the Westminster Confession of Faith. She taught them the catechism. And she saw those boys saved, and she saw them called out into the work of the Lord. Dear sister, today you're never too old to serve the Master. Brother, today you're never too old to witness for the Savior, and He will bless you. John here, you'll notice, he is the servant, and he's in service. But you notice not only is there mention of the servant, but there's mention of the Spirit. John was not only in service, but he was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Verse 10, "And I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet." John was in the Spirit. And listen to me, brother and sister. When we come to God's house in the Spirit, we will see things and we will hear things. That was John's experience. He was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. He heard things and he saw things. I wonder, as we are now assembled in God's house, what spirit are we in today? Isn't it sad when Christians go to the house of the Lord in a bitter spirit, in a carnal spirit? My dear friends, if we want to know God's blessing, we have got to come in that spirit of, that's not carnal, not spirit that's not bitter, but a spirit of love, a spirit that is that of consideration. There's a blessing for every church that meets in the Spirit and knows that sweet harmony together. There's a lovely little psalm tucked away there at Psalm 133. I've read it on many occasions at business meetings and other meetings. But notice how there's a blessing for the church. Verse 1 reads, Psalm 133, "Behold, and how good it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garments, as the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore." Notice where the blessing was, brother and sister. When God's people meet in harmony, meet with that spirit of friendship, that spirit of fellowship, meeting as one. My dear friends, there's a blessing for us when we come to God's house in the right spirit. I hope none here today in an old carnal spirit, an old bitter spirit. It ruins your soul, it ruins the home, it ruins the family. What a blessing it is to go to God's house with the joy of the Lord in your soul, God's word in your hand, and singing praises unto Him who hath loved us and washed us from sin. So we find John here is the servant, and John was in the Spirit. And you'll notice here, as John was in the Spirit, that he saw things and he heard things. Now, if you were to read these chapters in the book of Revelation, you would discover that John saw many things. For instance, just to stimulate your appetite that you might come to this book and read it and meditate upon it, you will notice in chapter 4, right through chapter 5, that John saw the worship of the Savior or of the Sovereign. He saw the worship of his glorified Lord. In chapter 21, he saw the wife of his glorified Lord. In chapter 17, he saw the woman who was opposed to the glorified Lord. He saw the wife of the Antichrist. He saw that one who was opposed to the Lamb. Where they go out to, and they've come together, and they go out to the Armageddon, and there the Lord Jesus comes. They're defying the King. They're defying the Savior. They're defying the Lamb of God. But the Lamb of God, He conquers them, and the Lamb of God is crowned. You'll find there that John saw the worship of his glorified Lord. He saw the wife of his glorified Lord. He saw the woman opposed to him. But in chapter 1, John saw the glorified Christ. And that's where we want to meditate upon this morning. Oh, it's good to think about the servant John. It's good to think about the Spirit and being in the proper spirit. But oh, we want to see the Sovereign. Now, John heard things, and John saw things. First of all, let us think of the voice of our wonderful Lord, or the voice of the Sovereign. If you want to think about the servant and the Spirit and the Sovereign, notice the voice. In chapter 1, John was in the Spirit, and he heard behind him a great voice as of a trumpet. Why a trumpet? Well, my dear friends, the voice of a trumpet, it's clear, it comes to us with clarity. Now, in the Old Testament, there was the voice of the trumpet. If you would like the reference, you could turn to the book of Exodus, Exodus chapter 19 and verse 16. Exodus 19 and verse 16. And here is the Lord speaking to Moses in Mount Sinai. Exodus 19, verse 16. And it reads, "And it came to pass on the third day in the morning, there were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud upon the mount, and the voice of the trumpet exceeding loud, so that all the people that was in the camp trembled." Notice, beloved, there's the voice of the trumpet. It's in Mount Sinai. God Almighty is thundering out the law. "Thou shalt remember the Sabbath day. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt do no murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery." My dear friends, the commands are thundered from Mount Sinai. "Thou shalt not." It came with clarity. It came as the voice of a trumpet. There's the trumpet of the law. But in the book of Revelation, you'll notice it's the trumpet of the Lamb. It's the voice of the Lamb as a trumpet. "I heard behind me a great voice." I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet. You see, on both occasions, we have the trumpet. We are reminded in the Old Testament about the law. We have broken the law. But in the New Testament, we are directed not to the law, but to the Lamb. You see, God the Son came as our representative. He kept the law on our behalf. Now, so often, and rightly so, we emphasize the death of Christ. But we should ever remember the life of Christ. The Lord Jesus fulfilled the law. He kept every commandment. He kept it on your behalf and mine. And then, my dear friends, he was punished for your sin. Listen, no sin goes unpunished. No wrong thought. No wrong action. Jesus Christ, my dear friends, took upon himself all your sin. What a miracle that God so loved you and me that he took our sins and placed it upon his Holy Son. And his Holy Son went out there where there was no standing, where he was desolated, where he was left alone. And he cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" God the Father turned from his Holy Son because your sin and my sin was upon him. And my dear friends, God is directing you and I to the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. So John heard a voice. It came with the clarity of the trumpet. You see, in olden times, there was the armies used the trumpet. There would be the bugler, and the bugler would sound he would make the warning that they were to either advance or to retreat. He would sound the music, and the army knew whether they were to go forward. My dear friends, God is speaking to us. His voice comes with clarity. It comes like that of a trumpet, and he's directing us. God is directing his people. He directs us to Christ. My dear friends, those of us who were saved are in a great battle. We're in a conflict. The devil has arrayed against us, and we're exhorted to put on the whole armor of God that we might stand against the wiles of the devil. The Lord, my dear friend, is directing us to himself. Notice clearly there is the sounding of the trumpet. God is directing men and women to his Son. But alas, this world are listening to many voices. They're not listening to the voice of the trumpet. They are going their own way. And they are turning away from the church and turning away from the things of God. They won't listen to the voice. But one day they will listen. For the trumpet will sound for the last time. And every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. I have often thought about those who have sat in gospel meetings, who have sat in free Presbyterian churches, who were so privileged to hear the word of God. I have seen men sit with the tears running down their cheeks. I have seen them reject Christ and go out of the door unsaved. How terrible will be for those men in the great judgment day when that trumpet will sound with clarity, "Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. I know you not." My dear friends, we are living in the day of grace, and the trumpet is sounding. And listen, beloved, it's a trumpet of invitation. Did you notice what happened in chapter 4? Chapter 4, verse 1 reads, "And after this I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as if it were a trumpet talking with me, which said, Come up hither, I will show you things which must be hereafter." Notice, beloved, it was a trumpet of invitation. Oh, how we rejoice that John heard the trumpet. So first of all, he heard there was the voice, but then you will notice there was the vision. Not only was it audible, but it was visual. There was the vision of our wonderful Lord. There was the voice of our sovereign. But there was the vision of our wonderful Lord. Now notice, beloved, that it was the vision of the Savior. Notice what it says at Revelation chapter 1 and verse 12. "And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks." You notice he's talking about the church. We have the interpretation of this at the last verse. "The mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks." The seven stars are the angels, the messengers in the church, and the seven churches, of the seven churches, and the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. So there were seven churches, and in the midst of the church was the sole head and only king of the church. Will you notice, men and women, what John saw was the Almighty. Look at verse 8. "I am Alpha and Omega, and the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which is to come, the Almighty." John had a vision of Almighty God. You see, the Lord Jesus is the Holy Son of God. He is equal with the Father and equal with the Son. My dear friends, he is God of very God. John had a vision of the Almighty. And you'll notice the first thing that he saw here was the Savior. As attention was directed that he was the Almighty. But you'll notice that he saw the Savior in the midst of his church. He saw the Sovereign there in the midst of his church. At verse 13. "And in the midst of the seven candlesticks." He saw his wonderful Lord. He saw him in the midst of the church, and notice how it's put to us. "And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, girded about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hair were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as far as a flame of fire." What's all this about? It's telling us about Calvary. He's taking us back to the cross. You see, there's the glorified Lord in the midst of his church. And John sees him, first of all, as the Son of Man. He sees him here as the Savior. Notice he has been in the hottest fire. His hair has changed. When the Lord Jesus walked this earth, as a Jew, he would have had black hair. He would have had the locks. But you notice it's white like wool. This speaks to us of what the Savior suffered at the cross. Notice his eyes were as a flame of fire. Think of that, brother and sister. There's the Lord Jesus. He's in the midst of his church, and he's looking down upon his church. He's walking to and fro in his church, and he's looking upon his church, and his eyes are a flame of fire, burning through the hypocrisy, burning through the sham. He sees us as we really are. My dear friend, when God looks upon us today, how does he see us? Does he see us men and women saved by the grace of God, washed in the blood of the Lamb, wearing the imputed righteousness of Christ? How does God really see us? Oh, we can fool one another. But my dear friends, we can't fool God. God knows exactly how we are. He knows about our prayer life. He knows about our giving to God's work. He knows about our attitude to one another. God knows about it. Notice, He has perfect vision. His eyes were as a flame of fire. Now you'll notice, beloved, here that John saw many things. And we haven't time to look at them all, but let me share some with you. Notice, as John viewed the sovereign here, he saw the victory of the sovereign. Notice, beloved, first of all, that the Savior is clothed. Verse 13, and in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot. What do we read in the Gospels? We read that vile men took the clothing off him. They gambled for his clothing. They beat him. They spat upon him. There he is, naked. He's lifted up before the multitude. And they were gathered there, and they were crucified the Savior. And they gazed upon the broken, bruised, bleeding body of the Savior. That's how we find him at the cross. Men and women, that's how some still see him. They see him on the crucifix. They see him as the Savior unclothed. But beloved, he's not unclothed. He's not wearing the grave clothes. He is on the throne. And on the throne, he's wearing the royal robes. Oh, notice here, as we think about the victory of the Savior, think again of the ministry of the Savior. Verse 13, it says, and in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, girt about the paps with a golden girdle. Notice, it's reminding us here of his government. He is the high priest, just as they had the high priest in Israel with all the garments. And you'll notice there that that he has the government of the high priest. He's wearing the judgment plate. And this speaks to us of Christ bearing our sins. It speaks to us also of the Lord Jesus having our names written upon his heart. You know, when you read the Old Testament, read about the prophet, and you read about the Aaron, the high priest, you have many lessons to learn. You learn about the high priest that he wore that special garment. He was clothed down to the foot. He had the breastplate, and the breastplate were 12 different stones. And on each stone was engraved the names of each tribe. And then he had on his shoulder 2 onyx stones. And the names of the 12 tribes were engraved in those stones. 6 on one shoulder, 6 on the other shoulder. They were there according to their birth. But when you come to the book of Numbers, you read about the high priest's garment. You read about him having the breastplate, and their names are inscribed on the breastplate as they would march into battle. My dear friends, they're on his shoulders according to their birth, but on his heart they are there as they go into battle. My dear friends, the Lord Jesus has our names. There was a day when he went in search of us. He found us. He brought us home rejoicing. Our names are inscribed upon his heart. He will never ever forget you. Oh, brother and sister, maybe there's a sister here and you're going through the valley. You have a great problem, you have a great difficulty. But the Lord Jesus is our great high priest. He's ever thinking about you. He'll never fail you. He will never forsake you. You see, our names are written upon his heart. There's the ministry of the Savior. Now, let's move from that very quickly and notice with me the vitality of the Savior. His head and his hair were white like wool. I've said that came about as the result of his suffering on the cross. Verse 15, and his feet like fine brass as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. Notice there the vitality of the Savior, his strength, his vigor. You see, what happened with the old Aaron was, Aaron would bring the sacrifice. He would take the lamb. He would shed its blood. He would put it upon the altar, and the fire would come down and consume the lamb. But the Lord Jesus, you see, he was the Lamb of God. The fire came and fell upon him. Listen, beloved, it burnt out. Notice it says his feet were as fine brass. You see, that's a result of the judgment that came upon him. But you'll notice he put the fire out. Oh, Christian, be encouraged. There's no punishment left for you. The Lord Jesus bore all our punishment in his own body on the tree. He has put the blooming, blazing flame out that was waiting to consume you and me. We have a great Savior. Oh, how we ought to rejoice in him this day. Notice his vitality. He's the Lamb of God. And the Lamb of God endured my judgment. And he put the flame out that was burning for me. How I can rejoice in him today. Notice also here the authority of the Savior. Notice what it said he had in his right hand. 7 stars. I'm glad we're in the hand of the Lord. He's protecting us. He's taking care of us. Out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. Thank God for his precious word. He is all authority. Unsaved man today. Unsaved person, listen to this. The Lord Jesus came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power or authority to become the sons of God. He is the power today to take us out of the devil's family and put us into God's family. He wants us today to know the joy of sins forgiven. He wants to assure us today that he is the sovereign, that he has all power. And he tells us in his great high priestly prayer, he prayed there that they, the disciples, would go into the world as he had come into the world. And then he could say on resurrection ground, gathering in the upper room of the disciples, as I was sent into the world, so send I you. You're going out tomorrow night with the leaflets with the authority of heaven. You needn't worry about one man or whoever would open the door to you, whoever you're confronted with. You're about the king's business. The king's business requires haste. Oh, my dear friends, you have the authority of heaven to go out and to invite men and women to the gospel service. You see, you're come to the kingdom for such a time as this. We can rejoice today in the ministry of the Savior. And we notice it's a ministry that's marked with vitality. It's marked with authority. But beloved, it's marked with sympathy. Oh, notice here the sympathy of the Savior in verse 17. And I saw him, I fell at his feet. There's John. He's just overcome with the vision. He has heard the voice. He has had the vision of the Lord. He's overcome with it all. But you'll notice the sympathizing Savior laid his right hand upon him. That speaks of power, of strength. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, listen, fear not, for I am the first and the last. Notice the sympathizing Savior. I say to you again, maybe you're in the valley. Maybe you're going through a time of testing, a time of trouble. In a congregation like this, there are 3 types of people. Those who are in trouble. Those who are going into trouble. Those who are going out of trouble. There is the sympathizing Savior. He's our great high priest. He's touched with the feelings of our infirmity. You don't have a heartache, mother, that the Lord doesn't know about. He knows about that worldly daughter. He knows about that wayward son. And he's praying for us. He ever liveth to make intercession for us. We can rejoice as we think today about our great sovereign. We can think of his ministry, a ministry that's marked with vitality, a ministry that's marked with authority, but a ministry that's marked with sympathy. One of my favorite verses is Matthew 9:36. And the Savior saw the multitude. He was full of compassion. He was filled with compassion. He saw them as sheep without a shepherd. No one cared for me like Jesus. What a wonderful Savior is Jesus, my Lord. Our time is gone, and one last thought. Notice with me here the majesty of the Sovereign. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore, amen, and have the keys of hell and of death. My dear friends, our Lord has all majesty. He has all might. He has all power. He's the Lord of glory. He's King of kings and Lord of lords. There's no one like him. My dear friends, he has all power. He has power to save you right now. He has power to secure his people. He has power to satisfy his people. There's none like the Lord Jesus. What a vision John had. John saw his Lord. and John saw him, he was completely satisfied. Tell me today, what does Jesus mean to you? As a boy, I was in a shop, and there was a man in that shop. He was little of stature, and there was bunches of bananas, and he wanted some of those bananas, and he reached up, and he couldn't reach, and he kept jumping up, but he still couldn't. And in the shop was an evangelist, a man some of you have known, Victor McManus. Victor McManus was a tremendous singer. He had a baritone voice. I heard him sing in the Ulster Hall with no microphones, no public address system. And his voice was of such magnitude that he could fill the whole building. And he stepped forward, and he reached those bananas down, and he gave them to the man. And he said to the man, "Now, I want to tell you that you have insulted me. You were cursing. You were taking the Lord's name in vain as you were trying to reach those bananas." And the man said, "Sir, I didn't mean to insult you. I don't know who Jesus is. He's just a swear word to me." Isn't that sad? But that's not your case. You know who he is. Many of you today, he's your Savior. There could be those with us today, and as yet, you haven't trusted him. He loves you. He died on the cross for you. And all of us can enjoy his ministry. We can all know that victory that's in Christ. We can all bask in his sympathy. He loves us. We can say with the hymn writer, "What a wonderful Savior is Jesus, my Lord. What a wonderful Savior to me. I trust he's your Savior too." God bless you. Thank you for listening so attentively.